Last week, we talked about what the church should do for those missing in action. Tonight, I want to center on how you can become the missing man, or the missing woman, or the missing church member. You know, when we talked about dealing with those missing in action, we as a church, we and as review, so you figure out what was preached last week, is that we need to observe our environment, that we need to pay attention, open our eyes, look around, and think about what you see or not see, or who you see and not see. We need to observe our environment, which means we need to see, get out of our own little world and start looking at the world around us. It requires us to change our mind and start thinking of others first. Then what you do is, if you had someone that was missing, as the text in Matthew chapter 18 talked about, you leave the 99 and you go out and you find the one that's drifted astray but needs to be in the fold. And we need to take whatever it takes, and true love is the key. We need to go where they are and keep on going until you're told not to, either by the Holy Spirit or by that person. But you still pray for them. You still pray for them. Time is of the essence, because time is running out. Christ could come back today. Amen. And the night is coming when no one can work. It will take personal effort. And then lastly, we need to restore people. We need to forget about yesterday. You know, we say sometimes that we forgive someone, but then we still bring it up in the heat of the moment. When we ask Christ and He forgave us, He forgives and forgets. It's buried in the deepest sea, not to be remembered anymore. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. And we need to understand that Christ restores us, to puts us back into original condition. And we need to do that in our relationships. It is our ministry. We are told to be ministers of reconciliation. Jesus restored man to his original state with God. We should endeavor to restore those missing to original fellowship. So that was a way of review from where we were at part one. Now part two is, how do you go missing? How do you go missing? You know, some start, run, and finish well. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we're supposed to what? Run the race. Lay aside every weight and run our race. I can't run your race. You can't run mine. But we need to all run our races together, because we're all going to the same goal, to glorify God. Paul was an excellent example of such a person. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says this to Timothy. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There are three things in here that we all need to do when we run our personal race. It takes a fight. We are in spiritual warfare. He talks about having the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual, and they're mighty through God to doing all these things. We need to do that. Then we need to finish the course. How many of you have started something and not finished it? Yeah, every one of us like that. Folks, that doesn't work in the spiritual realm. God wants to change us to His image. That is His will for our life, is to be conformed to His image. And He's going to change us from glory to glory. But you got to get involved. You got to be available. You got to pay attention. You got to be agreeable. You got to accomplish God's will. We've got to be part of that first group that we talked about this morning. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Finish what you start. He that had began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him work in your life. Amen. And then the last thing is, kept the faith. Kept the faith. See, the reality is there's others that have not done so well. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, Paul calls out somebody. Folks, I would not want to go down in history of the Bible as being called out for not doing the right thing. That's a bad example. But here says, verse 9, Paul is telling Timothy, he says, look, watch me, but the first thing is holding faith and a good conscience. The Bible says if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence to God. We know that we're doing. When's the time to do good? All the time. It's always a good time to do good. Holding faith and a good conscience, which people who start and run well will do, but which some having put what? Away. It's a personal decision to live your faith daily. It's a personal decision to make a choice for God or to reject Him. But he says here, he says, which some having put away concerning faith have made what? Shipwrecked. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Wow. That they may learn not to blaspheme. See, there's a lot of people out there that think they're doing the right thing, and they're ignorant of the Word of God. They think they're doing the right thing from their mind, and they really don't know that they're doing the wrong thing. Folks, we need to follow Christ. That's what this is all about. So some start, run, and finish well. How are you running your race tonight? Others have not done so well. And then the main person tonight is a man by the name of Demas. He had been a fellow laborer of Paul. If you took and go to the little book of Philemon, it only has one chapter in it, but Paul is writing a letter to Onesimus's master, okay, and saying, hey, this guy was in prison, he got saved, he's coming back. He's coming back. And in the end of this letter, he says there, salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. He had been a fellow laborer with Paul. He had been ministering to Paul in Rome when Paul was in prison. He was associated with a pretty respectable crowd. Let's look at these names here. Marcus, John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Aristarchus, who basically was a ruler of the church he was a leader of the church in Macedonia. Demas, we're going to talk about him. Lucas, that's the Latin for Luke, the physician who accompanied Paul on all of his journeys. He's running with the right crowd. He's with the right people. He starts out really well. But then he finally deserted Paul. Now, Jesus teaches a parable in Matthew 13. We use this as an illustration a lot. Is that there's the seed and the sower. And there's four types of soil. There's seed, which is the gospel, and it's thrown on the rocks. And before it could do anything, the birds eat it up, and that's Satan. There's seed that is sown, and it goes in shallow soil. And when you put the Word of God to something, it's truth. It's going to work regardless if you're saved or not. The Word of God is going to work. And people try out church for a while, and they try to do it, but they really never get a relationship with Christ. They have no root in themselves, and then all of a sudden, the sun comes up like it does in South Texas, and it gets 100 and a million degrees, okay? And it wilts, and everything does because it doesn't have a deep root. And then there is the issue of seed that was thrown in the thorny ground. And the seed takes sprout. It tries to do because the Word of God will not come back what? Void. won't come back void. It takes up with the cares of the world. The thorns choke it out and it becomes unfruitful. Folks, a Christian is supposed to be involved. A Christian is supposed to bring forth fruit. Some bring more forth fruit than others, but everyone who is called of God is supposed to bring forth fruit. We need to be our own fruit inspectors. We need to be basically not judging other people, but judging, are we being fruitful for God? The last soil was the good ground and it brought forth fruit. So why did Demas become a deserter? Well, we can kind of look in here and we can see, first of all, and this is the problem of Christians today. This is why people will fall away from church, because they're not committed. Their commitment was conditional. When things are going right, I'll come to church. When God's doing things my way, I'll believe in Him. But when things turn wrong, they fall away. See, Demas had been in good company doing good things. Paul had counted him as a faithful friend to be listed in the same list as these people. And Paul says, they're my fellow laborers, which means they're working together. And that's what we're supposed to do as a church. He had been with Paul during a time of great need. When Paul was in prison, he was there. But I'm saddened that people will come to church, they get saved, and then all of a sudden something happens, they just go. And they won't answer. And they won't answer. It's a responsibility to pray for them. But in Demas' case, we're going to find out that his commitment was conditional. When things go well, he was a good person. But when things started going bad, he departed. He departed. You know, outward appearances can be deceiving. We know that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. Is your heart right with God tonight? Is your heart right with God? You know, some serve well until the going gets tough. In this list, there's a man by the name of John Mark. And last week in our teen class, I was teaching about the first missionary journey. And Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went from Antioch and they went into Cyprus and they go up into what is now modern day Turkey, and then something happened. In verse 13 of Acts chapter 13, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. See, something happened there. We don't know the issue, but it was a spiritual issue. It was something that John Mark should have stayed through, but instead he ran. And he ran away, and he went back to Jerusalem. How do we know? It disappointed Paul. Because when Paul and Barnabas are going to go on the next journey, they say Barnabas wanted to take Mark. And Paul said, we're not doing this. And Paul said, I want to take Silas. And they had a disagreement and they parted ways. But here's the thing about Paul, John Mark. He finished well. He finished well. Even after this, later on, Paul is asking, he says, bring John Mark, for he's profitable to me. God will change you. If you're running away from God, don't run away. Let him get into your life and let him reverse your course and come back to him. You're not washed up when you're still alive and God's still working. You're not washed up. God can still use. He can use anyone.
Right.
He can use anyone. See, John Mark has some growing up to do. And some people just leave because it just gets too tough. I tell you what, there's been times in my wife and I's life, we start serving God and all of a sudden, bad, bad, bad. This thing happens. And you all know if those have been saved for a long time. And you say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's better just to give up and have a better life than go through all this trouble. Folks, that's where faith begins. When you reach the end of your rope, that's where faith begins. So, some serve well until the going gets tough. You may be running away now, but God can use you again. That was not the case with Demas. See, some serve God for earthly rewards or recognition. You know, Christ in Matthew chapter 6 talks about the publican and the sinner, or the Pharisee and the sinner, publican praying. And it says, what? This one guy gives these flowery prayers. I'm not like this other person. He says, the Pharisee doesn't go down justified. And then talks about giving alms and says, makes a big deal about what he did. And he says, they have their reward. They have their recognition. Folks, if you're serving God for the wrong motive, you will not be successful. You will burn out and you will quit. You will quit. Some serve God for earthly reward or recognition. In 3 John, once again, a one chapter verse 9. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the what? Preeminence among them, received us not. See, what happens is, when you start thinking about yourself, you get blinded to everybody else. And in the very next verse, John says, God's going to reward him against his deeds. And he says, if I come and talk to him, I'm going to set him straight. So the issue is, Demas' commitment was conditional. It doesn't matter how you start out, it matters how you finish. Outward appearances can be deceiving. You know, Jesus warned those who kept looking back. We used the verse this morning in Luke chapter 6, verse 62. It says that Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is what? Fit for the kingdom of God. You know why? Because if you're turning back and you're trying to serve God, but then you're doing it this way, you can't walk backwards and walk a straight line. You can't run backwards very well. You need to be pressing for the what? The mark. You need to keep Jesus in your sight. You need to say, whatever happens to me, I'm still going to follow Jesus. See, they wonder about the value of eternal rewards. They want to hedge their bets and say, well, I'll do this, but I want to keep my hand over here in case something goes wrong, I can fall back to this. It doesn't work that way, folks. It doesn't work that way. See, and eventually you start dabbling in, I can do this and I can do that. Then you'll do more of this than that. And then eventually you come to the point that what the world offers is more than Christ. That's happened here recently. Someone gets saved, God delivers them from stuff, they go out, and then they get some freedom. They get a job. Stop coming to church. And now suddenly, that's not for me anymore. It's not for me anymore. Folks, that's not faith. That's not faith. And I pray that salvation was real. But it's a hard time convincing that. Here's the problem with Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, and Paul gives the reason. Paul gives the reason right here. He says, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. See, Demas' commitment was conditional when things were going well, but when things got tough, he said, I think I'll go the world's way instead of doing God's way. And then it says, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, And then if you keep on reading, it says, only Luke is with me. And in the end of Paul's race, he's left alone. Sometimes that's what happens. I tell you what, don't put your trust in other people. You put your trust in God. And if we put all of our, if all of us put our trust in God, then we can be counted on. But if we're not doing that, look out. There's trouble coming. So why did Demas become a deserter? Because his commitment was traditional. Why was his commitment conditional? Because his love was lacking. There's a lot of things said about God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you'll do all the right things. Perfect love casteth out fear. Herein is the love of God made perfect, that I have love for my brethren. Peter, in the last chapter of John, was asked, and we went through this last Sunday, he was asked three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. My Bible tells me this, if you love me, keep my commandments. How can you say that you love somebody, you love them as a friend, if you don't ever listen to them? If you don't ever care for them? If you don't let them influence you? See, his love was lacking. Paul found no fault with the labor of Demas until the time he departed. It's not said here. Not like John, Diotrephes, I want to come and set him straight. Paul didn't do that. He said when Demas was here, he was doing things. Obviously, he did his work well. Secondly, Paul saw him as one of his trusted team because of what we saw here in Philemon. And I find it interesting that we have Christ as our example, but people don't follow it. Demas had Paul as an example. And you would have thought, just watching Paul, shipwreck, beaten, stoned, left for dead, all these things. And Paul just kept having bad, probably eyesight, having a physical malady. And Paul just kept on going. That's why he could say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith in spite of all these things. Because he realized that God's grace was sufficient for him. Paul's example should have caused not Jesus but Demas to love Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he says this. He says, be ye followers of me even as I also am of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10, Paul exhorts Timothy just like he exhorted everybody. I'm sure he exhorted Demas too. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You know something? I guarantee you that if you strive to be the greatest example to the world of Jesus Christ, you won't go missing in action. Because you'll truly understand what faith's all about. You'll truly understand what love is all about. You'll truly understand what grace is all about. You'll truly understand what God is all about. And you can't help but tell other people about it. You can't help but serve Him. You can't help but glorify Him. Folks, it's time to get fanatical. Amen. It's time to sell out and become surrendered to God. What a great time than this week when God gave His all on the cross, that we can give our all for Him. But his love was lacking. Paul's example should have caused Demas to love Christ. But you know something? Time tests all things. Time is a true test of how you really are. You can keep up a front for a while. I don't care if you're a kid or an adult. You can keep up a facade for a little bit, but eventually it's going to crack. Amen. You know, time proved Demas lacked a real love for Christ. Because in our passage that we just read out of 2 Timothy, he said he what? Loved this present world more than the things of God. See, he had a lower focus. See, you want to go missing in action? You just take your eyes off of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, if ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Jesus himself said, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Folks, it's time to stop praying about getting stuff. And it's time to start praying about doing things. It's time to start praying about the lost and the ministry and Christ coming back and restoring people and being the ministers that we're supposed to be. See, you get your eyes offset on what you're not supposed to be looking at. You'll look at the wrong things. See, time proved that Demas lacked real love for Christ. So first of all, we see that his commitment was conditional. We see that his love was lacking. And lastly, his motivation was misplaced. See, people that serve out of duty will eventually run out of gas. They'll be revealed, for time will tell what that's all about. Okay? So Demas served out of duty rather than delight. He missed Paul's motive of doing all for the glory of God. See, on the missionary journey, there were Demas winds up in Rome with him. And winds up, he's in Thessalonica. So he saw Paul on a missionary journey. That's what changed him. And he started following Paul. Well, during that time, Paul writes to the Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and whatsoever ye do in what? Word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, the level of your commitment could be seen by the amount of giving thanks you do to God. See, we are not our own. We're bought with the price. We are a bond slave to Christ. We're supposed to do what He wants us to do. Christ says this. He says, if you ask anything in my what? Name, I will do it. See, Paul got that. And he says, whatsoever ye do in what? Word. That's your language. And deed. That's your actions. Do what? How much?
All.
All. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then the last verse of that chapter, and whatsoever ye do, do it how?
Heartily.
Folks, it's time to do all things with all of our heart.
Right.
See, that's what God said. That's what Christ said. Love the Lord with what?
All.
Heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, we got to put our heart into it. And I guarantee you, if you don't put your heart into serving God, if you don't put your heart in growing your faith, if you don't put your heart in growing love, if you don't put your heart in what you're supposed to be focused on, you're going to fall away. And that's why people fall away. And you could be the greatest Christian up to that point, but then you could go missing in action. And then sometime God says, well, I had a job for them. I had a job, just like he had for those two disciples to go down and get the donkeys. I had a job for them. They're missing in action. We as a church are supposed to go out and restore them. We don't know what Paul did, if there's any further communication with Demas from Paul himself, but it appears that there wasn't any. And that's sad. See, in the end, his desire for earthly rewards finally caused his downfall. Folks, the earth, as we know it, not going to be here forever. You can't take it with you. You can have the biggest bank account in the world, but the moment you die, it's gone. It goes to someone else. What do we do here? See, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. See, what about our commitment to Christ tonight? What about it? Are we going missing in action? If we think we need to encourage one another, we need to pray for one another, we need to help one another, we need to show what God has done in your life to encourage others, we need to be an example. Amen. Are you those things? Only you can answer that. So we'll have a time of invitation where you and God can talk. And we'll get this right tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that you just be with us tonight. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, to be committed to you, to love you more, Lord, and to have our motivation, Lord, just centered on you and your glory. Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, tonight. We're a needy people. Help us, Lord, to not go missing. Help us, Lord, to go out and find the missing. And Father, help us, Lord, to be all one body fitly joined together. Lord, I pray that someone here does not know you as Savior. Lord, tonight, I hope that they would get saved. I hope they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins, that we were buried and rose again. And Father, I pray that they would understand that you died on the cross for their sins. You died for them, and that you offer salvation. And that would just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. I know I'm a sinner, and save me. I know that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, and that you were buried and you rose again, and that you offer heaven in which you rule. Lord, be with us tonight. Help us, Lord, to follow you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.